Good morning. We continue with our study of Nach Yomi as we do every single day. Ligulei Nishmas Avi Moria, Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Mechel, Irene Kaparas Mishkavo, and in memory of the great late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zecher Tzadik Livracha, we are in Melachim Bet. We are in the fifth perek, and we are going to continue with our studies of Elisha's great miracles. And of course, the perek starts off telling us and introducing us to an individual who was known as the chief general of the king of Aram. His name was Naaman. He was a major individual. Naaman was the one who, at least the Alkot Shimoni highlights, was the one who pulled the bow that went ahead and killed Achav. That arrow was the one that stuck into him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's source, says the Musar HaNevi'im, that Naaman was going to accept O Malchus Shamayim, and he was going to see the miracles from the Navi, and he's going to grow from it. And of course, that was going to be in diametric opposition to Achav, who saw great miracles and did not go ahead and get rid of the Bamos. And so he got Saras. Some say it was because he was identified as an Ish Gadol, as a big person. And of course, one who has big britches, Gasa Saruach, gets Saras. Others point out, the Medrash Tanchuma and Tazria and others, that he got his Saras from the fact that he captured a young Jewish girl from the Jewish people. And whatever it was, the Chazal tell us that in the Gemara and Gittin that Naaman was a Ger Toshav. That is, he was not a full-fledged Ger. He only accepted to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. But this causes Gehazi to be involved and to realize that there was a window to affect him. And we will see that he certainly has a major effect. So Aram has captured this young woman, and she starts working for Naaman's wife in the house. And so she tells her older, she tells her mistress, she says, listen, I really feel for your situation with your husband having Saras. I think that he should go see the Navi in Shomron, and if he goes to see Elisha, great things can happen. So he goes, Naaman, and he speaks to the king of Aram, because he has to get permission. And he says, listen, this is what my slave said to me. And the Malbim points out that since he was thinking that the king, it might have been because of the king that he got his tzaras, so he had to go ahead and write to the king, king to king, to go ahead and proceed properly. And so the king of Aram turns around and says, listen, I'll do what you do. I'll write a letter to the king of Yisrael. And he takes a certain amount of treasure, including changes of clothing, and he goes ahead and sends it to Melech Yisrael. And he says, look, well, you know, honestly, when you get this letter, I want you to know I'm sending you whatever it is, and I'm sending Naaman, my general, and I want you to cure him from Tzaras. Wow. So Melech Yisrael winds up realizing he has to go ahead and cure somebody from Tzaras. He reads the letter. He tears his clothing, right? And he says, wow, this is incredible. I'm not God. How am I supposed to save this person from his Tzaras? So some of the Mefarshim, the Malbim, among others, point out that the king didn't believe that a Navi has that ability to heal somebody from his Tzaras. And so he saw that it was a problem. But Radak says it's a much bigger issue. And what's that? The king was embarrassed to go to the Navi, right? That the king of Aram said, you have a responsibility, right? Because in the mindset of a Gaisha king, the mindset is the king has to be able to do everything. But that's not the way it works with us. Somebody has to go ahead sometimes and find consultants. And sometimes the consultant works for God. And therefore, that was the responsibility that he had, and he had to rise to the occasion. So when Elisha heard about this, and he heard how Melech Yisrael tore his clothing, so he sends a message, and he says, why did you tear your clothing? Why don't you have him come to me? And then he'll know that there is a Navi. So Naaman came with his horses, and he stands in front of Elisha's house. And Elisha sends a messenger. He doesn't actually go ahead and speak to him directly, because Asur L'Stakeh B'fnei Adam Rasha, you're not allowed to look at a wicked person. And so he sends a messenger, and he says, I want you to go to the Yarden and bathe there 7 times, and you'll see that your skin will be repaired. So Naaman gets very upset. And the Malbim says he's upset about 2 things. One, he invites him to his house, but he doesn't go out to greet him. And also, he says, why are you going to the Yarden? The Yarden was a small, smelly river in comparison to some of the big rivers in Aram. And so he says, I would be better in Amana or Parpar, which are the rivers closer to me. So he says, they're cleaner, they're better, they're stronger. I'll go to them and I'll go. And he leaves angry. So the servants come back to him and they really felt bad for his situation. They said, listen, they said to him, "Why?" The Navi said to you to do something. It's one thing. He's not asking you to do a tremendous amount. Why don't you go ahead and do it? So he goes and to the Yarden and he goes in seven times. And all of a sudden, sure enough, his taras is cured. So he turns back to Elisha with his entire camp and he stands in front of Elisha's house. Right, and he says, "Wow, I didn't realize until now, but now I know that there is no God in Am Yisrael except for the God of the Jewish people. Take a bracha." Now, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi points out that this is not a surprise to us. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda Halevi teaches us that this is one of the powers of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael's land and its rivers have tremendous segulos. Why? They all come from Gan Eden. And you have to understand that this is, obviously it has ability to perform miracles. Not out of nowhere. It has the ability to perform miracles out of somewhere. And that somewhere is the fact that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So in that regard, he says, I want you to take a gift, says Naaman to Elisha, and Elisha refuses. So Naaman says, why? Because Elisha says, I'm not turning to deal with the situation. It's a chilul Hashem to think that I did this all for money. So Elisha stands firm, and Naaman says to him, "Well, I'm asking you for a gift. Let me take the earth of Eretz Yisrael so I can build a mizbeach in that regard." And he also happens to stipulate that when the king of Aram would take him to go to his temple, he would have to let the king think he was doing it. And Elisha says, "Don't worry about that. While a Jew is not allowed to go ahead and do so, it's okay for you. As Naaman, you can go, right? And not have to deal with it." Well, Naaman leaves. And at that point, Gehazi turns around and he says, "Well, you could have had some treasure." And, in that situation. And so he thought Elisha was being foolish. The Malbim explains he was also a little bit upset about the fact that he had cured him. But we have a Mishnah that says, Misrapim Akum, right, Rak Mishar. Elisha thought it was a big Chilul Hashem, and so he didn't take money for the situation. Well, whatever it was, he ran after Naaman, and he said, "Elisha sent me, we got some guests. Can you send a little bit of silver and two sets of clothes?" So he says, "Take double the amount, right? Instead of taking 150 pounds, take 300 pounds. And Gehazi hides his amount and sends the attendants of Naaman away. And the problem is that he thought he was going to be able to hide it from the Navi, but when you work for a Navi, you can't go ahead and sneak it around. So Elisha turns to Gehazi and he says, "Where'd you go?" So Gehazi says, "I was here the whole time." Right? So Elisha gets really angry. He said, "I wanted to do Kiddush Hashem, you did a Chilul Hashem, and so now Naaman's Taras is going to be on to you forever, and that's the way it goes." And when he turns away, Gehazi winds up with Taras. And after the situation, Gehazi only gets worse. The Medrash tells us that he's one of the people who gave up their share in Olam Haba. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin also criticizes Gehazi, Elisha, for giving Gehazi too much of a punishment so that he would never, ever, ever be able to go ahead and do tshuva. And that was the curse, that was the cause of the second illness that Elisha has when he gets all upset and built out of shape. It becomes an issue. Rabbi Jachter has an interesting ha'ara over here. He says Gehazi is the type of person who experiences a lot of stories. Right? It's about who he's with, not what lessons he learns. And sometimes that's our situation in life as well. Sometimes we take episodes and stories and experiences and we use them just to tell fun pal stories instead of learning lessons and life lessons. And that's always a danger when we fabreng, if you call it a fabrengen, or if you call it a schmooze, or if you call it just shooting the breeze. It's not who you hang out with necessarily that makes a difference in life. It's about what you learn in the experience that makes a difference in life. And one of the lessons we learned from Gehazi and the situation is to make sure that when you hang out with great people, that their greatness has an effect on you as well. This is Perek Hey of Malachim Bet, and Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we are going to continue with Perek Vav. Everyone have a fantastic day.